Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is indeed time for the Derek Shelton Show, brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. Shelty, how are you today?
Joe, how are you today?
Doing quite well. I miss Ron desperately, but other than that, I'm doing quite well. I have city limits here to my left, and all is well. The game last night, Skeens, another gem from him. This has been incredible. Here's my question. If you were going to go up and make a case for him, you know, we had a writer here, Ed Bouchette, who used to go in front of the Hall of Fame committee in football and state the case for various Steelers. If you had to get up in front of the voters and state the case for Skeens above Jackson Merrill, who's a hell of a player, do you think that Skeens does deserve Rookie of the Year? And what's the case over Merrill?
Yeah, I understand the case on Merrill, and I think to your point, he is a really good young player and has had a really good year. I think my retort to that would be, you know, some of the things that Skeens is doing are things that we've never seen before. And I think that's what warrants, you know, consideration for the Rookie of the Year. I'm also going to understand that, you know, he didn't come up until May and people are going to say that. But the thing that we're looking at, I mean, we're looking at an ERA that's almost sub two, right? What's it, about 208? I think is what someone told me last night. One of the reporters told me last night in post game. He's 10-3. You know, he can't do anything. He gave up one run last night. He can only control what he can control. So I think the fact that he's doing some things that are historic definitely puts him in the race. And I think it's going to be an interesting race and a really close one, because as you said, Jackson Merrill has had a nice season. But, you know, I am obviously biased, but I think the things that Paul has done has warranted enough for him to win the award.
I agree. I mean, it's interesting to me that Merrill is still the odds-on favorite, the Vegas favorite to win that award, because I think while Merrill's doing things that no Padre rookie has done, Skeens is doing things that nobody's done, at least not since, you know, I think I saw something last night, since 1940 or something like that, when Ron broke into the business.
Yeah, thanks. Exactly. And I wish I was able to use that with Ron. Yeah, I mean, I would guess, and I do not know this up. This is 100% off the top of my head, but I would guess like the last rookie to be like this was Gooden, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and he was 19 at the time, I think, when he broke into the big leagues. And, you know, I understand that the fact that he didn't get up until May, but like, I don't think that in terms of the voting, that should be held against him. It should be held of what he's done since he's been in the big leagues.
So then one question becomes, how many more starts? He's listed at least now as going on Saturday. Is that accurate? And then you figure one more then maybe in the Yankee series, or might he squeeze in three?
No, I don't. It definitely won't be three. I can tell you that. But we plan on him finishing the year and making his start. So I don't know specifically which day in the Cincinnati series that he would do it, but yeah, I would plan on, I think we are planning on him finishing the season and making the last two starts.
Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I was listening to your interview yesterday. I think it was your pregame meeting with reporters when one line really opened my eyes, Shelty. Cruz dealing with ankle stuff. And you mentioned that you said a few more years, we might be dealing with this. He might be dealing with this for a few more years. That was somewhat alarming. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's what I was saying is, and I probably should have articulated a little bit better. It's just that he's going to have soreness, you know, with anybody that has surgery and has the structure of what he's dealing with in his leg, there's going to be soreness there. You know, it's nothing, and hopefully it wasn't taken that it was something that should be concerning, but there's going to be times where it's sore just because of the structure of the surgery, just because of the structure of, you know, his leg, that there's going to be days that he has just general soreness in his leg. So I don't, if it came across as something that, like, this is should be alarming or we're worried about it, that was not the intent of it. The intent was, you know, we have to be mindful, just like when a guy has knee surgery or a guy has arm surgery or back surgery, there's always going to be times where there's the possibility of having soreness there. So if I didn't articulate that well, then I'm apologizing to you for that, Joe.
Well, no need for a personal apology there. No, I was just wondering. And it seems, Shelty, that if it's affected anything this year, it's been more maybe stopping and starting. I don't know, more defensively and maybe not his straight line speed. He still managed 22 stolen bases so far, so he obviously still has his speed. How has it affected your observation? What's been the effect more than anything?
I think that's in totality, it has been the starting and stopping. That has been the place that it has probably bothered him the most. You know, and I think there's been days that he's played where it's been sore. So hopefully we can see those stolen base numbers continue to rise because, like you said, he has the ability to steal. And I think we've seen, you know, since August 1st that you know, he's got, what, 8 or 9 bags and has been more aggressive on the bases. It has been starting and stopping. And that's something we have to continue to monitor it. The other day, I mean, you probably saw the play in the outfield where it just kind of caught on him and his foot gave out. And
yeah.
That's kind of what sparked it a little bit. He was able, I mean, he went first to third later in the game. And I mean, it was elite. I don't know what the sprint speed on it was, but then just as the game continued to go on, the stopping portion and the actual movement. And that's why we're going to have to monitor it.
Yeah, it feels like him, too, that he's taken a step forward offensively in spite of that long, long layoff, which gives me and I'm sure a lot of Pirates fans hope that you know, that monster year is still ahead for him. He has a chance to be a 2020 guy. He's got a 785 OPS. Your thoughts on even though he's struggling in September right now, your thoughts on how and why he was able to take a step forward offensively this season?
I think you pointed it out. It's just getting into the season and getting at bats. I mean, I think he led the National League in batting average in the month of August. And it's just he's getting better. He's having more consistent at bats. He's been more consistent against left-handers. It was one of the things that, you know, concerns you when a guy misses a whole year, that when does he get to the point where you know, it's back to where we need it to be. And he's actually done that and made some adjustments, which I think are really important. I mean, early on in the season, we talked about his at-bats versus left-handers. I think he's gotten significantly better in that space. And he's still just kind of learning to hit. The one thing that, and we've talked about it, you know, earlier in the season on the show, this guy has not played a ton of games at the major league level just because of missing the full year the year before and then the year before that in terms of how much he played. So, you know, it's a guy that he's a kid that's going to just continue to get better.
Shelty, I want to ask you a question about your lineup last night, but I want to preface it first with how different is it managing? How much differently do you manage when you're in the race compared to not in it?
Well, I think there's definitely different things. I mean, last night we were in a situation where Gabe Kutch had a planned off day and did not plan when we initially planned that Cruz was going to be down. So those are different, you know, those are different components to the function of our lineup last night. And then I think the other thing is right now is just we have a bunch of young players, and I think we're going to see some young players get some opportunities as we go through the last 12 games. So that would probably be the answer to that question.
I think a lot of people, including me, were a little baffled at Connor Joe batting cleanup last night. He's been struggling now for months and months. Can you talk about that decision? And also, Shelty, whether you feel like with Skeens chasing such a prestigious award, whether it's incumbent on you to put out your best possible lineup when he's pitching. And I realize a couple guys were down.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I think the first point would be two of our more consistent hitters or better hitters were down last night. In the case of Connor, I can definitely understand that because Connor has struggled. Kind of went with a little bit of experience there. I mean, I think as you're aware, if you listen to the pregame, and I think it was pointed out, Plante is definitely a reverse split guy, and went with you know, Joe. It came down to either Joe or De La Cruz because the rest of the guys at the bottom of the lineup are younger kids and really didn't want to put them in that position, you know, right now. Wouldn't want to get, you know, more reps under their belt. But I can definitely understand how that question happens. I mean, if we're in a situation where Cruz is available, Cruz hits third, Joey hits fourth, and we're in a different spot there. But, I mean, that's an understandable question. I get that.
Shelty, Yasmani Grandal's done a really nice job of helping Paul Skeens this year and calling games. I'm curious with him as a free agent coming up this year, if there's any thought of maybe having Joey Bart catch one of the final two games that Skeens will pitch this year.
Yeah, I don't know. As we get into it, that may happen. You know, we haven't, when we get to the point of Paul's last two games, I think we'll talk about it. But I do think Yaz has done a very good job with Paul. And, you know, we've kind of initially set that up to make sure that, you know, Paul gets in a situation where he's comfortable and how it goes. But it's something we may talk about over the last two games.
McCutchen, let's talk about him for a moment. He's now on the record saying he wants to come back and play next season. If you were a betting man, Shelty, would you bet that will happen?
Yeah, I think you guys know that we do not comment on free agents and how we feel about Kutch and free agents he's handled definitely, you know, with the front office group. But Kutch has had a great year. We know what he means to the club. And I think the most important thing is he's healthy and he's producing. So I think that's the thing that we will hold on to. But in terms of, you know, we don't talk about free agency or talk about that stuff until we get to the end of the year.
His bat speed still seems like it's borderline elite here. What do you notice about that and just about the year, reasons for the year he's had?
Yeah, well, I think he still has bat speed. You know, that is the thing. The two things that we know about Kutch is there's bat speed there, and his ability to control the zone is something that I would definitely deem as elite. I mean, he does not go out of the zone. He swings at strikes. I think the thing that we have to continue to monitor is just making sure, especially over the last like 12 games, making sure that he feels good because, you know, he's got that cranky knee and we want him to finish strong. But overall, I mean, he's had a really solid year for us.
Shelty, in terms of number of wins, is it important for you guys as a team to eclipse last year's mark? Like, is that something that you have in your mind? Have you mentioned it to the team? Do you at least want to show that you've moved ahead of last year's win mark?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to win every game, and I think that's the important thing. I have not said anything specifically to the team about, you know, in individual win total or where we're going, but the focus is to win every game.
Shelty, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
That's Pirates manager Derek Shelton. It's 11:16. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency of Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. What did you make of the Connor Joe explanation?
I still wonder why he is batting cleanup. Like, I understand a couple guys were down in the reverse splits, and Connor Joe has batted cleanup a lot against left-handers, so I understand it from that perspective. He's been better against lefties than he has against righties.
When you say better, but he
hasn't been good at all, though,
this simply
year.
Hasn't hit for 4 months. I would wager to say if you took every player with 150 or more at-bats in the majors since the beginning of June, he might be, like you said, if it's not Key Brian Hayes, he might be the worst hitter in all of baseball. He has, I want people to hear this very clearly. This is over a span of, I think, 200 at-bats or close to it. Since June 12th, he has 8 RBIs.
Well, think about it this way. He was good in April. He was pretty good in May. That's when kids like high school kids and grade school kids were just getting out of school. Now they're all back in school. In that time in between there, Connor Joe is hitting about 190.
With 3 home runs? Like,
yes.
I'll live with 190 if you're Kyle Schwarber and you're giving me power. He's not Kyle Schwarber. He's Aliko Williams. He has 3 home runs since then.
Jared Triolo has produced more power than Connor Joe.
I just... You know, if you want to argue on Shelty's side that he has very little choice, then it goes to Ben Cherington. It's just, come on. You got a guy here who's trying to win Rookie of the Year. Forget about that even. Forget about that. You're putting out a lineup where you think your best option as a cleanup hitter is Connor Joe. That's worse than your tanking lineups of a few years ago, where Cherington put together a roster he knew was going to lose, and they did, which is why they've had all these high draft picks. That's a cleanup hitter for a tanking team, Connor Joe. And the Pirates allegedly are trying to win. And by the way, I think it is important. It is important that they have more wins than last year. We can talk about how it's not. But
if it's like a win or two, how important is it? Like, let's say they win 75.
To me, it's not... In actually analyzing the team, but we live in a world of sound bites. We also live in a world where you can then forever say for the next 6 months going into the next season, hey, we got better. We won more this year than we did last year.
Yeah.
And that's way different than saying we took a step back because it's measured on win total.
And you know what else? We live in a world where Paul Skenes is on the roster this year and wasn't last year. And we live in a world where O'Neill Cruz was mainly healthy this year and where Jared Jones produced 20-plus starts and was really good in most of them. And we live in a world where Nick Gonzalez was healthy and actually producing unlike last year.
Well, what do you mean by all that?
We live in a world where I think you have Paul Skenes, you should be better than last year, as well as O'Neill Cruz, one of your most dependable hitters. Even though the bullpen completely fell apart on you and was a strength last year, you can't be worse with those two guys performing the way that they did this year and Brian Reynolds still being a consistent threat in your offense.
What's their record? 71-79?
Yes.
All right. My math skills are leaving me. Last year they were, how many games is that? 150.
They won 76 last year.
I know that. This is 150 games, right? Last year, they were 70-80. They're only one game ahead of last year's pace. One game. And they wound up winning 4 of their next 5 last year. From this point, when they were 70-80, they won 4 of 5. I just think it's a horrible look to finish with fewer wins than last year.
So how about this? Mackey put this out there this morning. Since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Since July 31st. Deadline was the 30th. The Pirates are 11 games under 500 at 16-27.
Yeah, man. And you can help mitigate that. You at least can help argue for yourself. Cherington, Shelton, people who want to back the Pirates in any way by saying at least they did get better. Skenes came along, Jones came along, and they got better. Couple wins only, but it was better than the previous. At least they're moving in the right direction, unless they're not. So now here's a math question for us. What do they have to do from here on out to finish with 77 wins? They have to go 6-6, right? There's 12 games left? Yes?
Yes.
They have to go 6-6 to finish with 77 wins.
And they got to play the Yankees, first place Milwaukee. I don't think they will either. I think it's more like 5-7.
That's pretty horrifying limits, regardless of the circumstances, to add a Paul Skeens to your team and be worse than the previous year.
And Luis Ortiz was also better this year. And Bailey Falter surprised
people. I don't care about them.
Well, whatever. I mean, Paul Skeens obviously
Ortiz,
number one.
Who cares about Luis Ortiz?
Obviously with Skeens and
they
Cruz
added,
and those guys.
They added Skeens and they got worse if they don't finish with as many wins as last year.
But what I'm saying is supplementary pieces like pitching, which is supposed to be, pitching is supposed to be number one. First and foremost, you figure out pitching, good. You're good. You're fine. And that has not been the case because the offense has been so putrid and the bullpen has been so bad. And which makes me think that this year is honestly worse than last year because the talent on this year's team is better than the 23 team.
The lineup?
Well, the lineup last year, Joe, it was bad.
Worse than Connor. All right, let's go.
Connor Joe was in the lineup for a large part of last year.
You go find last night's lineup. Obviously, the rotation is better, right? You added Skeens and Jones. But especially Skeens. You look at last night's lineup. You go find that. I'll go find the lineup from game 150 last year.
All right,
we'll
I have
player
this year's
by
lineup.
Player, big boy. Are you ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Wait. Yeah, it would have been from game 150. Okay, they won last year against the Yankees. Ryan Borecki and Bednar with a save last year.
Remember that game against the Yankees? They lost like 16-2.
All right, let's go. Let's go 1-9. Are you ready?
All right.
We'll agree on who had the advantage this year or last year. And then can you mark that down, please?
Yes.
Do you have a pencil or a writing utensil of some sort?
I have a notes app that I will put everything in.
Last year in game 150, Leover Peguero batted leadoff.
Give me Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
What's Isaiah Kiner-Falefa slugging this year? Should be right in the box score limits.
He is slugging .383.
Peguero was slugging .410.
Yeah, but I mean, how many at-bats?
Oh, all right. Now you're getting a little hot here. You're acting like this isn't even a conversation. I thought Peguero was pretty good last year.
I thought he was okay, yeah.
And I can't believe he hasn't been here this year.
That's
a different
story, yes.
And if I had to choose a cleanup hitter between Peguero and Connor Joe, I'd pick Peguero 1,000 times out of 1,000.
We have Peguero leading off, playing at shortstop.
Yeah, I'll give you Kiner-Falefa, but not without a fight.
Okay.
Last year in game 150, and you should introduce your players by saying this year in game 150. I think that'll be very symmetrical. And easy on the listener's ears.
Anything to make you happy.
Last year in game 150, Connor Joe.
There you go.
Second.
Connor Joe. This year in game 150, Brian Reynolds batted second.
We go this year. Yeah. I might go with Peguero as my leadoff guy. Oh, my God.
Here it comes.
Last year in game 150, Key Brian Hayes batted third.
This year in game 150, Joey Bart batted third.
Last year's Key Brian Hayes is way better than this year's Joey Bart.
For that 2 month stretch.
3 month stretch.
Two months.
His slugging at the time was .444.
Well, Joey Bart is slugging .480 with a .262 average, 13 homers, and 43 RBIs. And he's only played 72 games. He only has 250 plate appearances.
But that helps him too. Last year's Hayes had better numbers over a long stretch than this year's.
If you're talking about that short stint for Joey Bart, why is it different than the 2 month stretch that Key Brian Hayes had?
It was a 3 month stretch once again. All right, let's read their numbers from. All right, how many at bats for Joey Bart this year?
.221.
Hayes had .494. He slugged .453, OPS .762, WAR 4.0.
And a lot of that's defense.
He slugged .453 with 15 homers.
Joey Bart has 13 homers and 221 at-bats.
All right. You're right. I'll take Joey Bart. Although I think last year's Hayes for those 3 months was better. All right, batting fourth last year, Miguel Andujar.
Batting fourth this year, Connor Joe.
I'll take that one, thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Batting fifth last year, the Jack in the Box, Jack Sawinski, with his 26 homers.
Okay. Batting fifth this year, Brian De La Cruz and his 200 average since being acquired by the Pirates.
I'm split on that one.
Yeah.
But I'll take 26 homers from Sawinski.
So, yeah, I'll give you Sawinski, even though this year has been an abomination, unfortunately.
Especially with De La Cruz, what he's done for the Pirates. All right, batting seventh. Are we up to seven?
No, we're up to six.
Last year's number six hitter was one Henry Davis.
This year's number six hitter, Yasmani Grandal. And they're picking Yasmani Grandal over Henry Davis to play.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
I know he's hurt right now.
Well, here's the thing. I think I heard yesterday since the All-Star break that Yasmani Grandal is top 10 in the National League in OPS.
He's been
among among everybody.
He's actually been pretty good.
I'm giving it to Grandal this year, which I'm sure you're happy about.
Yes.
Batting seventh for last year's Pirates in game 150, Dr. Jared Triolo.
Batting seventh in this year's Pirates lineup, making his major league debut, Nick York.
You got to take Triolo, who was actually okay at this point last year with a 338 on base percentage. Last year's Triolo. Give me that
last
one.
Last year's Triolo.
Right?
Batting eighth on your team was
Mr. Aliko Williams.
Woo! Batting eighth on this year's team, one Jared Triolo.
Whoa. Whoa. I guess I have to give it to Triolo.
Yeah, you got to go Triolo there.
Not by much. What's Jared Triolo's on base percentage right now, Limitless Wonder?
Triolo's on base is currently at 305.
All right. Aliko was at 286. I'll give you that
one. Yikes.
Batting ninth in game 150 for last year's Pirates, the human rain delay, Jason DeLay.
Jason DeLay.
Who's it this year?
Billy Cook.
No relation to Ron.
No, and Yasmani Grandal, or Michael A. Taylor eventually came in for defense, and Rowdy Tellez pinch hit. Can I take Rowdy?
Only if I can take Juan Palacios.
Josh Palacios? Well, let's just cancel each other out then,
Josh,
and go
yes.
Billy Cook against the rain delay.
Once again, a name malfunction. As soon as I reference Ron, I have a name malfunction. It's like it's an illness you can catch from Ron. I don't know, Jack Sawinski. He was good last year. Jared Tree. Liver Peguero was a real good player. Jaiwan B, he was really good at one time. I don't know about this. Carmen Mladstany was really good. David Bednar, I think, should go back to being the closer. As soon as I mention Ron's
Nicky
name.
Yorkie, what's Yorkie doing? The Yorkie peppermint patties out there playing ball.
This Isaiah Kiner Falefe, he's really, really good so far. So what do we have? What's the final tally?
So are we going with Jason DeLay over Billy Cook? Boy, we're really splitting hairs there.
Listen, both these lineups would apply to teams that are tanking. Like, if you didn't know better, you'd say that they're just putting out lineups to try to get better draft position. Come on, Ben Charrington. That was last year's lineup, and this is what you're putting out this year. Come on.
With a vote of 5-4, Big Brother style, the winner of the lineup is the 2024 Pittsburgh Pirates.
And
with
read
5-4.
Read that glorious lineup, just the names, 1-9.
The 2023 Pirates lineup
was.
2024. 2024 Pirates lineup is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Brian Reynolds, Joey Bart, Connor Joe, cleanup hitter, Brian De La Cruz, Yasmani Grandal, Nick York, Jared Triolo, and Billy Cook.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And Paul Skeens is out there trying to win Rookie of the Year. I can't believe they didn't score any runs for him with that lineup.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, an executive decision here. I'm going to wait to get to the Broderick Jones stuff. I want to hear what Mike Tomlin has to say about it. I want to hear if anybody asked Tomlin about Jones's quote the other day that if I'm not starting, I probably shouldn't be playing. There's many ways to interpret that quote. I wonder if somebody will present it to Tomlin. I wonder what he'll say just about the whole Broderick Jones situation, benching him in the middle of the series after putting him, I thought, in a horrible position when your offense is already in rhythm. Fatanu had not a good game, a great game, according to PFF. He was part of that long touchdown drive, and then you decide to put Broderick Jones in at your 1-yard line in the middle of a game? What are you doing? I don't care what your pregame plan was. That was ridiculous. So we'll talk about that after Tomlin. How does that sound, Limits? Very reasonable in your humble opinion?
Yeah, I think so, because his opinion on this, I think, is going to be flamboyant. And that's a big adjective, but I think he's going to say something about Broderick Jones that maybe catches our eyes or ears.
Some very, very questionable decisions by your Philadelphia Eagles last night, and the Fighting Kirk Cousins won a game and looked pretty good in doing it, but man, they needed some help from the Eagles. I watched the Manning cast. Do you? I think it's great.
No, because I like the traditional style of it. I do like the Manning cast, but I'd rather watch traditional football without all the next-gen stats and the commentary and stuff like that.
I don't need a play-by-play guy, I've decided, in any sport.
Yeah, I'm the other way around. I like it. Unless I'm at the game, I like hearing the play-by-play.
And I know as a play-by-play guy yourself, that's probably the last thing you want to hear. On the radio, I obviously do, because I'm not looking at the game.
Right.
I don't need somebody to tell me Manning drops back, or you know, whoever drops back. There's the pass to George Pickett. No, I'm watching the game. I don't need that all day, and I don't need X's and O's breakdowns and things like that, although the Mannings are obviously capable of delivering that. I want to be able to watch the game and then be entertained on the side, and they're highly entertaining. Belichick is great. I get my share of X's and O's. I get a lot of opinions, more than I do on a regular broadcast, and then I get fun and entertainment. I think it's great. But anyway, Matt Ryan was on last night, late in the game, with Eli and Peyton, and all of them on the Eagles' second-to-last drive when they were winning. I believe the score was 15. What was the score at that point? 18-15. They're winning 18-15. The Falcons are out of timeouts, and we're down under 2 minutes. And all three of them were saying, no way should the Eagles throw the ball here. Just don't throw it. Just run. In fact, the best thing to do on third and three would have been the tush push twice. Tush push twice, and then the clock would have been really run down.
Well, I don't know about twice, because if you run it just once, it gets the fourth down, then you just kick the field goal.
No,
and make it a...
and that's the other point here, is that analytics said on fourth down they should have gone for it instead of kick the field goal, that your chance to win was 95% if you go for it, and 90% or something if you kick the field goal.
Don't you think we think too much about analytics, though?
No, I don't.
I do.
I think you run the clock down and go for it, and then at worst, you're protected. At worst, you get a tie in overtime. This way, you put the ball in the air. Now, Barkley dropped it, you know, so you could argue, well, still a good call. No, he dropped it. So the clock stops. You kick the field goal, and then a touchdown beats you with plenty of time left. And Kirk Cousins was great on that final drive. I thought Nick Sirianni mangled the end of the game, in my not-so-humble opinion. You?
I would have ran the football. I get it. You're throwing it to Saquon Barkley. My problem is more with the execution on Saquon Barkley's part. Catch the ball.
Yeah. If you put the ball in the air, you're depending on that. The game should have been over, or at worst, you get stopped on fourth down. Why not the tush push twice in a row? Nobody stops the thing.
I didn't have
a
problem.
They did it again last night a bunch of times.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with the throw. I would have ran it, though, if I was making that call. It would have been, if it's fourth and one, yes. I also wonder, with Jason Kelce not there at center, even though they did run it effectively with the new center earlier in the game, if you really go in that direction, no, I would have taken the points, kicked the field goal, but ran more clock. And I think the clock is the defense. We can't just give Philadelphia's defense a pass here either. They got torched with no timeouts in just 1 minute.
No doubt.
That was horrible.
Brian Batko has weighed in saying, I could be wrong, but I think you misinterpreted that incendiary Broderick quote, and he just did a bad job of getting his point across. Well, first of all, Brian, I didn't interpret it yet. I simply said that he said, if I'm not starting, I probably shouldn't be playing. All I said was, there's many ways to interpret it.
He said this to you, or he said this?
Yeah, he just texted me. Now, it may very well be that Broderick meant, listen, if I'm not getting the job done, I shouldn't be playing. That's the most pro Broderick, nice quote, owning my bad play, whatever, interpretation of that. Other interpretations could include, excuse me. Listen, if they want to rotate tackles, they're out of their mind. That's a stupid idea. And if I'm not starting, I shouldn't be playing because rotating is a bad idea. I happen to agree with him if that was his intent. And then the worst interpretation would be the old Gary Templeton quote about the All-Star game. He was a shortstop for the Cardinals who was voted in as a reserve and said, if I ain't starting, I ain't departing. That would be the worst of those. Any way you slice it, it's an eye-opening quote. So I would be asking Tomlin to interpret it or ask him if he heard this quote. Yeah, and what he makes of it. How would he interpret it? But, okay, if Broderick did a bad job of getting his point across, what was his point? What do you think it was?
I think the point was I'd rather not be messed around with. And basically, I think Broderick Jones is mad that he's still playing right tackle when he knows he's a left tackle. They probably told him he was going to be a left tackle. And now, one, maybe he can't beat out Dan Moore because Dan Moore's playing better. Or Troy Faltano is just this good. He's mad about the entire process, and I think he's frustrated where, you know, if you just want to keep rotating me, just let me sit down because I can't get into a rhythm if I'm in one drive, out the next drive, in one drive, out the next. That's what I think he meant.
If you're not playing me, or if you're not starting me, then don't play me. That's one interpretation here. Then don't play me in sort of an angry manner. The other one would be, listen, if I'm not good enough to start, and I guess Batko is then interpreting Jones as saying, and I'm not good enough to start right now, then don't play me. I don't deserve. He Batko's saying, Jones is putting out to the world, I'm not good enough to start right now, therefore I'm not even good enough to play. And I'm owning that as Broderick Jones. I'm not good enough right now, so I don't deserve to play. I'm not sure I'm giving him all of that as my interpretation.
No, I don't think he's necessary. Why would it be in his best interest to deliver a message like that? It wouldn't. To just say, oh, well, I'm not very good right now. Let me sit down.
I don't deserve to be starting right now. Therefore, I don't deserve to be playing. So don't play me. That's the most lenient interpretation. I think what I hear him saying is, listen, pick a starter and go with the starter. Forget the rotation thing. If you're not going to start me, then don't play me. That's what I hear. You know, which isn't the worst thing in the world to say, except that the head coach could take you up on that. Some people gave it a really bad meaning, like I refuse to play, or you know, even if the guy's hurt or something, I ain't going in a game if I'm not starting. I'm not going that far either. Somewhere in between here.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.